Hello and welcome to Guys Gabbing Gridiron, everybody. I'm Josh McSwain here with my co-host AJ Torres coming at you with another show. Going to begin with a small rant of mine, something that's been annoying me lately, and that is the process of MVP voting. This has essentially devolved into just the quarterback on the best team, and it's honestly kind of frustrating to me. While I don't deny that the NFL's quarterbacks are the most important position overall, it doesn't mean that other positions should be neglected and just disrespected in the ways that they are. I know this year that Cooper Kupp was a wide receiver, got one vote for the MVP after he had the Triple Crown, all receiving categories led. He set the season record for most catches. Granted, there was an extra game, so I know. Recognize that, but still, I'm like, people talk about quarterbacks making receivers all the time, but I mean, did you see what Ja'Marr Chase did for Joe Burrow this year? Did you see what Randy Moss did for Tom Brady in New England in 07? Receivers definitely changed the game too, and the fact that no receiver has ever won MVP to me is just staggering, and I don't understand why the position is so disrespected. The fact of the matter is, we've had defensive players win MVP, which I'm totally cool with. Like me some Lawrence Taylor. We've also had a place kicker win MVP. This is totally real. 1982, yep. Mark Mosley of the Washington Redskins won NFL MVP. Granted, it was a strike-shortened season and all that, but just like receivers get no respect, and it's just staggering to me. Also, you think about 2019, Michael Thomas – set a bunch of receiving records too for the Saints, who went 13-3, missed Drew Brees for like a third of the season, and Lamar gets unanimous MVP. I didn't understand that one. I'm fine with Lamar winning it, but like the fact Michael Thomas didn't get a vote to me, I thought was just ridiculous. Back to just the best quarterback on the best team. Like, I don't get why Rodgers was MVP this past year. I mean, that's clearly what it was. He was the quarterback of the best team. He probably would have been fourth on my MVP ballot. One and two would have been Tom Brady and Cooper Kupp. I'm not 100% sure which order I would have put them in at this moment. Joe Burrow would have been number three because he was clearly incredibly valuable to the Cincinnati Bengals. I think we saw that. I know postseason results don't factor in, but postseason only showed you all that Joe Burrow meant to that team in the regular season. And then Rodgers would have been number four. Jonathan Taylor probably would have been number five. Obviously, the fact that Colts didn't make the playoffs would kill any chance he had of getting any traction for that award. I mean, if you just look at the last couple decades of MVPs, pretty much all quarterbacks since 2000, we've had a few running backs win it. We had Marshall Faulk in 2000, Sean Alexander in 2005, LaDainian Tomlinson in 06, and then, of course, Adrian Peterson in 2012. And all those guys were probably deserving, but it's just like we got to diversify this a little bit. With the passing league being the way it is, I think at a certain point a receiver might have a chance in the next 10, 15 years to win it. But also, think about other positions. Why not have another defensive player win it? Would be the first since Lawrence Taylor. Alan Page, also another defensive player that's won MVP. I'm just like, we got to spread this out a little bit.
You know, you could make the case where TJ Watt could have won MVP or Aaron Donald a couple of these years. And you're absolutely right, because if you look at it, right, as far as MVP, correct me if I'm wrong here, but how many quarterbacks with a top five worst offensive line get to the playoffs, let alone the Super Bowl? I mean, for crying out loud, there's some playoff games where he was sacked nine times.
Yeah.
Name a game in win or go home where the quarterback gets sacked over five times a game and still comes out on top. That is insane. They call him Joe Cool for a reason. That's because he's got ice in his veins. And some guys, well, instead of ice in their veins, they got McDonald's Sprite. I digress. as far as the wide receiver point, I mean, Randy Moss was great, but if you look at it right before Brady, who do you have as quarterback?
Well, it was the mess in Oakland of Andrew Walter and all Jamarcus Russell, I think.
Dante Culpepper wasn't an amazing quarterback for a career.
Did they overlap in Oakland? I don't remember if they did or not.
No, I'm going Vikings.
Oh, yeah, right at the start of the 2000s.
I don't think Dante Culpepper was amazing. I'm not saying he was a scrub, but he wasn't amazing.
Definitely not.
Exactly. But if you look at the type of way where it's like outside of them getting paid, I mean, ever since Odell Beckham Jr. started to train, these wide receivers getting freaking quarterback money. And let me tell you, I'm sorry, Christian Kirk was the second highest paid wide receiver, a dumbass move by the Jacksonville Jaguars. No wonder why Tyreek Hill got paid so much. No wonder why Davante Adams got paid so much. It's because the Jags made Christian Kirk a scrub, inconsistent at best, a number two, I think lead more towards number three wide receiver at best. You paid top dollar free agent worth. The fact that he was paid more than anybody else on the market for what he did was a disgrace. The fact that you're seeing guys get paid quarterback money. I mean, Tyreek Hill is going to be going to a new place with a quarterback with a mediocre arm. How's that going to work out? Unless he becomes Michael Thomas 2.0. But back to your thing before I get too off track. A wide receiver the last couple of years could have won MVP. And my vote would have been Cooper Kupp personally. It was between Cooper Kupp and Jonathan Taylor. Joe Burrow mentioned, but then I'm like, okay, Jonathan Taylor, defense was good, offensive line was great. And do I think he played much better than his quarterback? And he was the reason why Carson Wentz wasn't getting any flack until their choke job in the last game of the season? Yes. But I think that award was Cooper Kupp's and Joey Ice. Icy cool Joe Burrow. That was probably second place for me. Any thoughts on that matter, or do you want to move on?
Well, I mean, you also could have a decent case for Brady. I mean, he threw over 5,000 yards. True. He led the league in passing yards. I think he led the league in touchdowns, too. Don't quote me on that, but I was surprised he didn't win MVP. Granted, him or Kupp would have been a very tough choice for me, but it just goes back to my point. Receivers don't get any love at all. And just, you think about the fact, Jerry Rice never won MVP.
Moss never won MVP.
Well, with Moss, there's only a year or two in which he would have even been thought of. I mean, 07, for sure. And maybe his rookie year. That was too long ago for me. I was too young to really remember his rookie year. I mean, I think Favre won the MVP that year. That was the last of his three straight, but I don't know if Moss got any votes that year or not, but
I don't think so. But if you just look, those are the best wide receivers of all time. They never won one.
Yeah. And then Calvin Johnson, of course, just because he was stuck in Detroit. I don't think he ever had a chance.
But it goes by the most valuable player. And regardless, right, it doesn't matter how good you are as a wide receiver. The number one wide receiver for so many dominant years was Calvin Johnson, talent-wise. You could argue his quarterback, his division, the weapons around him, him being double-covered at the line. Megatron is a top-five wide receiver of all time, but a wide receiver by himself cannot win MVP. I'm sorry, cannot be the reason why a team wins. He could have won MVP, 1,900 yards. That still hasn't been broken. Everyone's going, game schedule is going to affect the records. Nobody complained about 14 going to 16. I'll say that till I'm blue in the face. And Megatron, well, his record's on top for a reason. Because he was the very best that year, and they just kind of went, we're going quarterback.
Yeah, and even back to 2008, Larry Fitzgerald had one of the most amazing postseason runs of all time. Great regular season, too. Of course, Peyton Manning won MVP that year. I mean,
of course,
it is what it is. I mean,
and it sucks because
team has so much to do with it. It's not just your value to your team. It's like it's best player on best team, and now it's just essentially devolved into quarterback of the best team more than anything else. Because in the 2000s, at least we had running backs that were still, you know, the focal point of their offenses, LT, Sean Alexander, those guys. But, I mean, that's just not going to happen anymore with the NFL just opening up, receivers catching passes out of the backfield, all of the bubble screens and all that. Huge passing numbers. Running backs just have to adapt and be part of the passing game. Running backs probably not going to win MVP anytime soon ever again.
Agreed.
But, yeah, you mentioned T.J. Watt. There's a couple of years J.J. Watt could have been considered for MVP. I mean, defensive players that have those crazy years, like, why not give them some votes too? It's just staggering to me, just the absolute groupthink that you see in these voters. I wish it were different, man.
It drives you to drink. It really does.
You know what would be more interesting? Instead of having presidential debates, have a bunch of sports writers get up there and present their cases for why their guy should be MVP. That I would watch.
Yes, the MVP campaign.
Precisely.
MVP campaign. I got you. And also, just remember, another thing that I will always say is, if it's between 2000 and 2020, if you are not Manning, Brady, Roethlisberger, good luck.
I don't think Ben Roethlisberger ever won MVP. I think you meant Rodgers.
No, I'm saying good luck getting awards. There is a long stretch of time where it's like, hey, are you Peyton, Brady, Rodgers, Big Ben? You know, the guys that won Super Bowls, this and that. I mean, there's so many times where it's just like, good luck winning anything. Good luck winning a Super Bowl. Good luck winning MVP. It was just doomed to failure for some of these teams. Like the Browns, you're doomed to failure. The Bengals, you were doomed to failure for so long. There was a lot of mediocrity for a lot of teams, including my Chiefs. But when I grew up in the early 2000s, until basically Andy Reid came to town, it was a lot of pain and mediocrity.
Yeah, many up and down years with Trent Green, Priest Holmes, Dante Hall. He had some exciting teams, including Tony Gonzalez being involved with there. But yeah, late 2000s, it just kind of unraveled. But then Reed came in and the rest is history. But I think we've spent enough time on that. Let's get into some of the rest of the points of our show today. I've been wanting to talk about the absolute imbalance of power between the NFC and the AFC for some time. It's just staggering when you look at it.
It is.
Of the top 16 teams in the league, the top half, I would say at least 11 are from the AFC, which means at least four of them will not make the playoffs. So let's just go through it right now. Teams you'd put in the top half, you've got the Bills, you've got the Patriots, you've got the Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers, Broncos, Colts, Titans, Browns, Ravens, Bengals. I don't think there's anybody I'm missing. Some might argue the Dolphins, of course. They're all over the moon about Hill, but I'm just like, I've never been a fan of Tua. I mean, you look at him last year, I think he was at 16 touchdowns to 10 interceptions in 13 games, something to that effect.
Mediocrity. So
yeah, and he also fumbled 9 times. Don't forget about that. He also did run for a few touchdowns. But that aside,
we do not.
People might complain that he didn't have anyone to throw to, but then again, he still had Mike Gesicki. Devontae Parker,
Devontae Parker?
Well, Parker's inconsistent, injury prone.
That could catch the ball. They had wide receivers going in there. Some of them that weren't proven stars, but they caught the ball when thrown to them in car bottom. I saw these guys go in now. And guess what? Guess who also has a rotation of nobodies that make it work? The Eagles. Says we don't have wide receivers. We don't have talent. We say, hey, we need help on defense. We need guys on the backup for when our offensive line gets hurt. They're getting older. They don't completely say we suck. They made the postseason. No one's complained about the Eagles not having star wide receiver talent outside Devontae Smith. You got Jay Jaws that ain't bad. Aguilar's not there anymore. Even though you traded Ertz, you still have
Dallas Goedert.
Goddard. I knew it was a G. I forgot. Thank you.
Yeah, that's.
I had a brain fart. But if you look at the Dolphins team, right? They got themselves a tackle, and it'll be on the blind side, so he might be playing right tackle. Which some people say, oh, it depends. Well, it goes by the blind side of your quarterback. So you got tackle. You got running backs. You got a wide receiver that you paid for the moon for. Gesicki's on the franchise tag, which essentially, if your name is not Kelsey or I can't believe it. Kittle. I say that because he was unproven when he got that money. If you look at these franchise tag tight ends, they're making just short of $11 million. They better make it work. We don't know exactly with the new system. And again, this is going to be three sets of play calling in 3 years as Tua being starting quarterback. But I truly think this is his last chance because he hasn't proven to me that he could throw the ball downfield. We know that the offensive line has been issue. It's gotten better this year. But it's like if you're Tua Tagovailoa, or turn the ball over, as we say, stay healthy. Throw a ball downfield, get composed, and you don't hear a lot about him in the media. They kind of ruined him last year. We're saying that his head coach didn't want him and making it public. And fresh start, new weapons, new system. This is his last chance for me. Otherwise, he'll be known as Tua the Hawaiian Plumber.
Right, and we also forget about Jaylen Waddle. He was also there last year.
He's not. Look at his numbers. He's no scrub. So you got him, you got Hill, you got Gesicki.
There's no more excuses for him. That's for sure.
And plus, you got a star tackle that's been a good track history. He's not going to become a scrub overnight. If you look at the pass rushers in that division, there is nobody that says, you scare me. This is his last shot. If not, you got to trade him for a bag of balls and start over. There's a brand new quarterback draft that's going to be high in the quarterback department. There's going to be guys on the market. This is his last shot in Miami. Done. Otherwise, hey, sorry, but you'll be just like Marcus Mariota for the rest of your career. Tired of the clown show, tired of the BS, no more. Last year to prove it. And if you don't prove it, later, dude, skip town.
Okay, so all that to say you don't have him in the top, don't have the Dolphins in the top half of the NFL power rankings. The Steelers are also not getting panned as much as I thought they might. I mean, I was like, you're really going to put your, you're going to hitch your wagon to Mitch Trubisky? Really?
Well, if you look at the quarterbacks on the market, if you're the Browns, let's say Deshaun Watson doesn't get suspended. Let's just say what if. Are you going to trade your quarterback to a division rival? Hell no. So where are the other options available? They don't have the draft capital to move up, and you're not going to have that one pick put you in shambles for 2-3 years. Because if you move all the way up from where they are to the top where it's going to be worth a damn for a quarterback that's – they're not great quarterbacks this year statistically. Too many what ifs, and this one's going to be really dependent on coaching for this class.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think coaching is going to determine this class. So with that said, I'm okay with the Steelers not banking on it. So who is available? Out of the bunch, out of the ones that are experienced, essentially what you have is they said Dwayne Haskins made very good progress in Pittsburgh. We don't trust Mason Rudolph. And you have Mitch Trubisky on a one-year prove-it deal to give these guys competition or he starts. I'm perfectly okay with that with the stop guy, and they still have a complete team to go from there. What's the roof? What's the ceiling? What's the floor? I don't know. Do I see them being the strongest team in this division? No. But they're not scrubs. Then they're not going to take a line down.
Yeah, they're not the worst, but yeah, I certainly don't think they're in the top half of the league either. So no. So I think we can safely cross out the Jets, the Jaguars, the Texans from being in the top half. So we're stuck at 11, which leaves us with five more spots to fill from the NFC. Buccaneers, Packers, Rams, 49ers, and then you have one more. Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Bueller? Okay, here's my point in saying that. After those four teams, the NFC is exceedingly mediocre. I mean, just look at all the teams that are out there that could potentially get into the playoffs. You got the Cardinals, who made other NFC West team fans rejoice when they extended Cliff Kingsbury. Take that for what you will. Chandler Jones is gone. Kyler Murray is unhappy.
Christian Kirk is gone, which is bigger
than
what I
thought. Well, I mean, you panned that move. Granted, I think both can be true. You can equally pan the move and equally say that
AJ Green did not work out after the second
half. Yeah, he's old and busted. I mean, unless Rondale Moore becomes a star, like, I don't know what they're going to do. Who's Kyler going to be throwing to at that point? So,
and Hopkins, we have to worry about injuries now?
Definitely. There's
so
that.
We have Hopkins, who has to stay healthy. Ertz, Rondale Moore, who's on
another injury issue with Zach Ertz. So let's move on. In the South, we know Atlanta's going to be bad. We're fairly confident Carolina is going to be bad because they
should start watching hockey. They're going to be bad.
Yeah, that's also true. Actually, they probably are already. I mean, this season will be over by June. But that aside, you have the Saints, who have Jameis Winston. Remember, they went 9-8 last year, and they didn't have a quarterback for the second half of the season. Why can't the Saints make the playoffs? They're probably going to have four wins easy from their division if they can split with Tampa Bay. You got five wins, you're halfway to probably getting into the playoffs.
They could make it, you're right.
Yeah, Saints could get in there. We were talking about this a little bit earlier. We got the North, we have the Vikings, who, all joking aside about Kirk Cousins, he's a solid quarterback. Still got Justin Jefferson, phenomenal receiver. Yeah, the defense kind of sucks, but, you know, they still could slip in amongst all the mediocrity here.
Issue running back, Cook, he's got to stay healthy. He's another year older. That interior offensive line, the tackles I'm okay with. The interior, the guards in the center is an issue for me. We'll see what happens with that. The defense is in shambles. It needs a rebuild. It's like, listen, do I think that you got a couple things going on for you on offense? Yes, but with Kirk Cousins another year older, the division is weak by itself. It's Packers by a landslide.
Yes. So, I mean, Vikings could potentially be a playoff team. But don't forget, they also get Irv Smith, young tight end, back from injury. So maybe he could make a difference for them. Justin Fields, we have to see what he ultimately becomes in Chicago. But granted, Allen Robinson is gone. Who is he going to be throwing to? Who knows? And so then you come to the NFC East, where you've got the Giants, who, unless Brian Daboll can just become like Harry Potter, wave his magic wand, and instantly make Daniel Jones a viable quarterback, they're probably in the cellar again. You've got the Eagles, who obviously were in the playoffs last year. They seem to be probably about the same sort of vibe heading into this season. And then you've got the Commanders, who lost Chase Young last season.
Yeah.
For all that you talk about with Carson Wentz, he is an upgrade over what they had, though he's nothing spectacular. So maybe one of those teams are in the top half. And of course, there's one team left whom we have not talked about. I'm now going to get into, and that's America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. But before we do that, I want to give a brief shout out to my friend Alex Alcazaz, aka the Bear Man of Texas, friend of this show. He has a great program called Cowboys Talk, where he gives you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about the Cowboys. We'll have the link to his show in the description below on this show. I'd also encourage you to check out his merch shop and help support him that way. But now let's get into the meat of the matter with the Cowboys. They were 12-5. Everybody was on their bandwagon last year thinking it was going to be their year. And then just they flamed out in the wild card round. I mean, Dak is the best quarterback in this division by a mile. I don't care what Colin Cowherd says. Carson Wentz is not better. Dak Prescott, easily the best quarterback, but I think he is going to regress in 2022. I mean, they traded Amari Cooper, who is a top 20 receiver, for a bag of Doritos, which is just asinine to me. And just like, you know, you remember before Cooper was traded to the Cowboys back in 2018, people were saying that Dak was overrated and that he only was good because of the line and because of Zeke. And then you bring Cooper in and then he takes off. And then now everybody's saying, oh, yeah, Dak. Oh, rah, rah, he's so good. And I just can't help but think of Hank Hill at this point. Like, that's asinine. If you say that again, I'm going to kick your ass.
And I tell you what, that is asinine. So,
precisely. And then also remember, Randy Gregory was going to re-sign in Dallas, and then he was like, nah, I'm going to Mile High. Granted, I think we know the real reason he was going to Colorado, but I'll digress on that point. The thing is, he just ups and leaves. It's like, I don't know who really wants to be there anymore. Like, Dallas is not attracting the best players. Also, Lyle Collins, starting offensive lineman's not going to be back. That line is old. The studs that were there have left. And I think we've talked about before, Dan Quinn's defense is not going to have an encore performance that was like it was this year. I think almost no one believes that. And, of course, Zeke's another year older, and how much he really wants to play for the team anymore, I question it.
There's a lot of things about this team that doesn't make sense. Now, I will. Yeah. Now, listen.
And the other thing I'm going to say, growing up in Texas, right, I always saw when the expectations were really high, Cowboys always underachieved. It's when no one expected anything that the Cowboys pulled off those really good seasons. Of course, now the expectations are up again. And so, yeah, a letdown seems inevitable.
But the fans do it to themselves. They say Super Bowl this year, and they don't get it. And at the end of the day, the media will make expectations. But the fans put it on themselves. Let me be clear here. If we look at just the salary cap here, Dak Prescott's number one, you know, highest right now. No surprise there. Number two is the dumbest, you know, thing on the team. And who do you think that is?
Who do I think is the second highest paid player on the team?
For salary cap wise going into the year.
Zeke?
Yep. Tyron Smith is next. You got Lyle Collins this year, almost making 15. Then we got DeMarcus. Then you have Zach Martin making 12. And here's the dumb thing. Dalton Schultz, no one heard his name until really this year. He's on the franchise tag for $10.9 million.
Had his moments last year. He had some good games, but
I understand.
Yeah, I don't think.
But what I'm saying is, at age 26 years old, when you give him a salary cap, which makes him 5% of your cap room, which is a lot for a tight end that's not proven. What I'm saying is, instead of being like, franchise tag, get Lair, whatever, you're going to want to keep this guy around for a long time. Wouldn't you just rather offer the guy? It's like, listen, I'm going to give you a 3-year deal. Let's try and see if you'll go at $15 million, about, 12 guaranteed, around there. And I would have been fine with that. But you're going to pay the guy $11 million. And if he does well, guess what? You're going to have to sign him for a lot more years. And it's going to be higher than that amount. So you're going to, so that 3 years for $15 million is going to go for 3 years for 36. That's just how math works. So you're going to have to end up paying that guy more money. And if it's actually more towards, 4 years for 50, it wouldn't surprise me, because that would just be the going market. You know, the Hunter Henrys, the Janu Smiths, who knows what Gesicki's going to do. But I keep looking at this Dallas Cowboys team, the Super Bowl caliber team, everything else. You took off Amari Cooper from there because, I'm sorry, he's throwing a CD Lamb. But you resign Michael Gallup. You resign, I'm sorry, who? Cedric?
No, he's a Dolphin. Cedric Wilson's a Dolphin now.
Really? Did he sign there, or what happened?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay. But still, I mean, the Michael Gallup money, when they thought he was going to be cut, is atrocious. They signed him for a good amount of money, man. I thought he should have been let go. I understand he was hurt. A lot of years on that deal.
Yep.
The fact that Tony Pollard is making $1.1 million and some people think he's more effective than Zeke. You got to deal with Zeke for this year and at least one more year, I think.
Yeah, I think they have an out after that.
The dead money, if you were to do it pre June 1st, the dead money would be $30 million.
Ouch.
So after this year, you might consider a cut depending on the performance. But whatever the case may be, if you've looked at the roster that these Cowboys teams have had, it just sucks that they got an owner that always goes for really a head coach. Now, he lets the head coach do his thing. I wasn't a fan of the defensive coordinator hiring, but he proved me wrong. He did very well. Micah Parsons helping him this year. You're happy he's back if you're the Cowboys fan. If you're the Cowboys, the fans, long term, he's going to be back. He got chased out of Atlanta. Now he's loved in Dallas. But the problem with this is that you have Jerry World, who always seems to be one of those guys where he's going to hire his best friend, even though he's not the best hire. Look at how many Super Bowl makes he could have had if the coaching was better. There's a lot of things you got to do as a head coach. It's not an easy job. We make it sound like it's easy when we critique. But the thing that I think set people off the most is that last play with Dak Prescott and no timeouts. And do I think the ref was a little slow to the line to place the ball before he tried to spike it? Yes. But you defended the play when it was completely stupid. And it made you look like an ass. It's one of those rare circumstances where I defend my guy and myself, or I put blame on my quarterback who's not going anywhere. But also, have you noticed that because you hire a type that's your friend, look at some of the decisions made. Look at the head coaches that Jerry Jones has passed on all these years. Plot twist. When Andy Reid was let go, what was there a chance that Jerry World just said, "Hey, Andy, let's go grab a cheeseburger. Could you imagine that legacy?
Well, I can promise you they wouldn't ask him for a cheeseburger. He'd be like, hey, you want a big steak?
Well, I mean, it's just one of those.
It's Texas, baby. Barbecue.
Well, that was
okay,
just
I'm just
that
being
was just
cheesy right
things.
Now.
Well, you are a Texan. If you're just going to be like, hey, Andy, you want to come over for some barbecue and talk business? It'd be like, God damn, I bet you a cheeseburger, it's phenomenal. That's just one of his quotes. He's like, I bet you a cheeseburger, that's a turnover.
Yeah. And you also got to throw in some chili in there, the actual state food. You got a steak. You got a nice bowl of chili. And that's then a Texas weird. Sheet cake for dessert. True story. I have an uncle who actually fed the team during training camp for a few years. He said, man, Andy Reid had a sweet tooth.
That does
said he was a great guy and everything, but said, yeah, he liked him some dessert. Texas sheet cake. If you've never had it, you should try it.
Texas sweet cake.
Sheet. You know, like a bed sheet.
Yep. Texas sheet cake.
Yep.
That thing's got to be, it's got to be like what, three, like a foot wide by like 3 feet, some of them.
Well, I suppose the size could be anything you want. You could put an 8x12 or something bigger if you'd like. But I'm sure you're just joking about everything is bigger in Texas. So you, in other words, piece of cake is the size of your face. Which is true.
My man. But really,
yeah, I mean, I've been to New York City, and man, those desserts got to be eaten in a New York minute. But in Texas, man, it's, as Trump would say, huge.
It's huge. So
we're going to have the best desserts. They're going to be even better than Barack Obama's desserts. He's got nothing on me.
Oh, that's phenomenal. But yes, this is just, do I think this team is going to contend this year? I think now the interesting plot twist is until the Saints traded for one of the first round picks this year from the Eagles, so they could have something else next year to help rebuild. I thought they're going to take all three first round picks, and they're going to get defensive players, maybe possibly an offensive line, just to have a guy for depth purposes because their offensive line is getting old too. But it seems like they believe in Jalen Hurts. They made the playoffs, rose above expectations, and want to go there next year. We'll see what's available. You know, could be anything. I don't have a crystal ball. But it seems like when the Cowboys already have their issues and they're not solved, then they keep trying to – it seems like they keep trying to go in the same direction where it's like, oh, this isn't an issue. This isn't an issue. Now, even though there hasn't been a draft yet, the draft is going to be coming up soon. But still, I'm thinking for this draft – that it's going to be, I don't know. Jerry Jones is usually one of those guys where he just looks at the board and he just goes, I like him. Regardless of what it is, just kind of like, yeah, I like this guy. And sometimes he nails him. Unlike where Washington, they just go, you know what? This is one of those, hey, from the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area, I like this guy. Take him GM, I'm going back home. And that's happened many times. So right now, the Eagles and the Cowboys are fighting for this division. Washington's going to have their struggles no matter what. And the Giants are laughable until proven otherwise. And I think this is going to be a stopgap year. And Daniel Jones is going to be ousted. He's going to be going back home. And the only field he's going to be competing on is the golf course. Change my mind. I'll shut up and I'll admit that I'm wrong, Daniel Jones. But you're going to have to show me something to change my mind. Because right now, the only thing you look like is a certified backup.
Well, there you go. We have now had some presidential impersonations and one of us calling out an NFL quarterback on this show. Not exactly something we planned, but still, it's a good time.
A very good time.
Right on. So, I couldn't help but think about your impression of Bernie Sanders. Just like during... Now, you see, my fellow Americans, we don't have sheet cake, we don't have pecan pie, we just have maple syrup on a stack of pancakes.
I have no complaints about the sheet cake in the state of Texas. Well, I demand all of you that you share.
And then Trump,
he's going to take your sheet cake and he's going to give it to some lazy bum that doesn't work.
Well, that lazy bum, I have you know, pays taxes as well.
Okay. This has achieved another level of just weirdness.
we go across the bar, don't we, Tex?
Yeah. We're just here to have a good time.
Absolute.
All right, so we had another segment, but I think we're going to save it for next week. Next week, we'll talk about ranking of NFL quarterbacks, so stay tuned for that. Anyways, and, any final thoughts?
The draft falls on... Let me just check the date real quick. This will fall on the 28th. So we got plenty of time before day one of the draft. So we got a couple of topics to go over before draft time. And ironically, I don't think we'll be here for draft night, but we will definitely be going over a little coverage later on in the month. And we still got plenty of topics to go over. So again, thank you for being here. We're both glad to be back. And take it easy. Take it away, Tex.
Yep. Like he said, thank you all for listening. And once again, just one more. I want to plug Alex Alcazaz, Bearman of Texas, with Cowboys Talk and Into the Net FC. Check out his two shows. And on behalf of AJ Torres, I'm Josh McSwain. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.